It's Thursday, October 29th, 2020. This is the Real Vision Daily Briefing. I'm Ed Harrison, joined shortly by Steve Kalajian of Ticker Talker. But first, with the news of the day, Haley Drasnan.
Hey, Ed. Well, it appears the U.S. economy is starting to bounce back. GDP, a measure of the total goods and services produced from the July to September period, came in at 33.1% on an annualized basis and ahead of expectations for 31%. So that's a 7.4% growth in one quarter, a record pace. While it doesn't make up for the corrections in the first two quarters, it does highlight the V-shaped recovery through most of the third quarter. In fact, as Ed so rightly points out in his Credit Writedowns newsletter, if you look at the blue chip consensus estimates and the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now forecast, there was a consistent ratcheting up of numbers over the past 3 months. If you look a little bit closer, over the last 3 months, GDP moved up to the 30s before today's number even came out by the U.S. Commerce Department. This is suggesting most analysts underestimated the acceleration of the bottom we saw in the third quarter. The economy has accelerated more than anticipated over the third quarter and now beginning into the fourth quarter. You know, markets are reacting positively to this news, but investors are already moving on. They had seen the economy doing well since September, and now they're looking ahead. This third quarter is already old news, and what's on the horizon is starting to cause real alarm. It's fears that the recovery could stall or reverse heading into the end of the year as COVID-19 cases are picking up in the U.S. and Europe, and U.S. stimulus hopes are fading. Jobless claim numbers are coming down, but unemployment is expected to remain high through this winter. If you look at the initial jobless claims numbers that were released today from last week, they fell from 791,000 to 751,000. That's ahead of the expectations, which were around 775,000, and puts us well out of the 900,000 realm where we had stalled in September. The four-week average claims number has fallen 500,000 in 2 weeks. This is the lowest level of claims since March, just before the coronavirus pandemic shut down the economy, but it's still at historically high levels. The bottom line here is this. The economy is still far below the pre-pandemic level. The U.S. has only recovered about two-thirds of the ground that it lost in the coronavirus pandemic. All of this data drives earnings and markets over the long term, and it suggests that the recovery should have legs. If this September and October periods of volatility was simply about determining where the economy is headed and had nothing to do with the coronavirus, we would be in the clear. But unfortunately, the virus is now again the big issue. So on that note, back to you, Ed.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Steve Kalajian, Chief Market Strategist at Ticker Talker, welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, so Steve, I think I was just telling you right before we started taping that we haven't had anyone who's talked specifically about the market and the election. And I know that you have a firm view both on the election and then also the election outcomes from the presidential side. And I want to talk to you about that. But I actually also want to talk to you just, take a bigger lens as well. Once we go through the nitty gritty on the presidential election. Now, the thing that caught my eye when we were just talking about it is that you said the markets hate uncertainty and we're going to get it. Can you explain to me and for our viewers what you meant by that?
Sure. So in my 37 years, I know that the markets do not like uncertainty. They want to know a clearer path, right? So for example, is the FOMC in a mode of cutting interest rates? Or are they looking to hike interest rates? So I've seen it both ways. I've seen where the Fed funds rates back in, some 15, 18 years ago were 4.5%, and they were in a tightening mode, where the FOMC then became in a loosening mode. And so what I've seen, like I stated, is where the markets do not like uncertainty, and especially in this very sensitive climate, which is the presidential election. The markets don't know if President Trump is going to win, and is he going to enact further tax cuts and or stimulus because we do need probably another round of stimulus. There are a lot of people struggling. I was just driving through Manhattan yesterday. I had a dinner, and I could not believe what I saw as far as a lot of stores that are closed. And so I think that there's a lot of people still out of work. So the markets don't know the uncertainty to that. And again, if Joe Biden is president, the markets don't know what he's going to do in his first 120 days. Is he going to take away the Trump tax cuts? Is he going to start raising taxes? So like I state, I think these are very sensitive times, and I think that the markets felt it in the last couple of days as well, plus the fact that there has been a spike in COVID and the fear of another shutdown, as you saw what's happening in Germany and in France. So a lot of what if questions here that still, like I said, the uncertainty levels are very high, probably the highest I've seen in my 37 years.
Yeah. And, you're speaking to the uncertainty of policy, both on the Trump side and on the Biden side. But I know that you also are talking about the uncertainty of the election. You mentioned North Carolina to me right before this in terms of, will we even know who the president is on November the 3rd?
My best guess is that you won't. You'll have some type of idea, but I think that, like we saw the Supreme Court rule that North Carolina can extend the date by 9 days, so that gives it till November 12th. And I think there are certain states that are before the courts now. I think that this is, like I state, a very, very sensitive election, and that we saw what happened with Bush and with Gore. It lasted, well over a month. Finally, it took the Supreme Court to declare George Bush the president of the United States. But again, I think that that will wear on the market. I think that's going to have a negative tone when you keep, not knowing that uncertainty. And like I state, I hate to repeat myself, but in 37 years in this industry, this is a no-no for the markets.
Right. And so you're basically saying that the volatility that we've been having, partially because of what's going on in Europe, but also because of the politics, is going to continue even after the election. How far down can it go just based upon that level of uncertainty? Can it go down 10%, 15%, 20%? What's the downside risk here?
Well, if it's combined with a COVID spike, then that could even throw it down even further. But I don't believe we're going to go near the March lows. Right now, we're around the 26,000 change. So we did drop about 1,500 points in 2 days here. 1,400 points in 2 days. When you have an uncertainty that drags on, it's going to be like a slow death type thing. I don't see a market crashing. I just see low volatility and just constant sideways drifting lower, which is like a slow, painful death. For me, it's just like, okay, let's get over with. Let's move on. Who's ever present, let's just get in the right direction to see where this market's eventually going to head to. So I think that the longer it goes on, I think it's more negative for the markets.
You know, the I guess the positive takeaway from what you're saying is that there is some limit to the downside. And really, once we find out who the president is, you know, we'll be back in business. And I think that's where some of your analysis gets into play, because I know that you were saying that, you know, near term, the market's going to be headline driven. But, you know, if Trump gets reelected, your view is that the Dow is going to climb to higher than 30,000, whereas a Biden presidency, you look as being negative for the market. Can you talk to us about that bifurcation there?
Well, the reason, the rationale behind that is because of the fact that, like I stated, that the in my 37 years, the markets do not like uncertainty, and the markets like economic growth. And, you know, if Joe Biden becomes president, is he going to be more of a moderate and, you know, stay, you know, like the way Bill Clinton was? Or is he going to enhance certain policies that could hurt economic growth, which we don't know yet? That's why there's uncertainty, right? And under President Trump, he is, you know, obviously he's always boasting about the stock market making new highs and, you know, 401ks. And, you know, he always starts off with a rally of that nature. And again, not being political or anything like that, I think the markets know his position, that he wants to do another tax cut in 2021. He's been talking about it. The Republicans and Democrats were very close to a stimulus package. And I think that is going to come to fruition sometime right after the election. What number? I think it's going to be $2+ trillion. So, but again, it really is all predicated on corporate earnings, right? We need economic growth. We still have a 7.1, 7.2 unemployment number. That's still pretty high, right? Granted, it wasn't as high as it was at the initial start of the COVID when we had 22 million people out of work. Now we got down about 10 million, which is a staggering amount of people. Prior to the COVID hitting, we had the lowest unemployment in over 50 years. And obviously we saw what happened with COVID did and the pandemic that really just destroyed our economy and put a lot of fear into people. And like I said, I was telling you earlier, I was back in February. I mean, I didn't miss a beat. I came to the office every single day, and I was driving on the highway, and I was like driving, like, wow, this is scary. There's nobody on the road.
Right. You
know? This is like, and I, like I said, I was in New York City yesterday and meeting a client to have a bite to eat somewhere. And I was just like, I couldn't believe stores and buildings closed, and it didn't have that same feel of New York City in a fall afternoon, you know? So I think that the markets, again, like I said, are in that waiting mode period.
Right.
But I do think that if of all the markets, I think I've always said that the NASDAQ is going to outperform either way. I do believe the stocks like Microsoft, we saw Netflix explode within 30 minutes, ran about 30 points because they're raising their subscription model. Because I, you know, Netflix, there's only a certain amount of people that you can get on and reach a certain plateau. And then you got to decide, okay, how are you going to generate more revenue if you already pretty much have as many viewers as you possibly can? And they came out with different packages. So you see the Apples of the world, things like that. I think that those are names that, you know, should be born on weakness when we do get an extreme oversold condition. 5G is coming out. Apple, the iPhone 12 is coming out in February, mid-February. So I think there's some really good opportunities as well in the tech space.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about those stocks because we're taping this just after the market closed, and I'm looking, it says that Facebook reported earnings, revenues that topped estimates, but the stock fell 2%. And I think that Google, Apple and Amazon are also coming out with their earnings right now. How much of what they're reporting now in this particular quarter, this is the first, you know, post 33.4% Q3 up quarter, how much of what we see now will give you a sense of, you know, how robust they're going to be going forward in 2021?
Well, you know, Xbox with Microsoft, I think Christmas time coming, I think they're going to do extremely well with Xbox, their cloud services. They beat on the net revenue yesterday. when in 37 years, I never heard a more bullish tone in my entire life. A couple months ago, when I was looking up and I saw Amazon trading at $1,624, a couple minutes later, I was recognizing, and all of a sudden, an announcement that Amazon came out that they're going to hire 100,000 new employees. And in my 37 years, I never heard a company come out with such a bullish tone. And I said to myself, this is a stock to buy. I mean, this is the company's telling you that the growth is going to be tremendous to hire 100,000 new employees. And so the stock ran about 1,900 plus points in a very short period of time. Yesterday, I'm driving in the car and my partner needed to order something. He goes right to Amazon Prime. So right. I think this is just going to grow. Yes, there are other competitors like obviously Walmart and Target and things like that and other firms that are trying to compete. But I think Amazon's so embedded into people at this point that it's so easy. And I think, you know, a lot of people have Amazon Prime. Every time I'm on the highway, I see four or five Amazon Prime trucks. So I think that this is a name that's going to continue to grow. I do think there's going to be some pullbacks and opportunities along the way. As long as the model is not broken, I think that's a name. We saw Netflix today. Again, Microsoft. I think these are the names. I wouldn't be in the airline stocks.
I want to talk to you about that because you're making a good case, obviously, for large cap growth stocks, large cap tech, you know, like Amazon. And by the way, of course, you were just mentioning they're pandemic resistant. You see all the trucks all over the place. But I know that you're talking about avoiding cyclical stocks. You're talking about avoiding banks, airlines, and they're going to underperform the market. So what kind of growth paradigm does this work in? Because obviously you're talking about growth over value. Mm-hmm. What's the macro outlook behind that that causes you to think that that's the way to go?
Well, if you take a look back, right, when the S&P futures made a new all-time, the S&P futures and S&P cash made new all-time highs, what followed? The NASDAQ 100. What lagged? The Russell Small Cap and the Dow Jones Industrial Average never made new highs, right? So you had a divergence between the two. So right off the bat, when the NASDAQ got up to above 12,100, I said, extremely overbought, look for a pullback 10.3, 10.5. We got that, boom, and we rallied 1,000 points off that. So again, we're in this mode that's the type of markets or the type of investments people are looking for. You think of where Facebook came from when the NASDAQ hit 10,300, 10,400. What did Delta Airlines or JetBlue or United Airlines do? They didn't even have nowhere close the percentage gains, right? So I think investors are looking for more alpha generated gains and names that are COVID proof and you know, in that name. I would stay away from banks. I'd stay away from airlines. I would stay away from oil stocks. Because if we do have another downturn, oil is going to get hit again, God forbid, because less people will be driving. And, you know, oil has already a cloud over its head with, you know, electric cars and combustion engines and being done away with, et cetera, in the next 5 to 10 years. But so I think this is where the play is going forward.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You know, it's interesting that there are two things I picked up on. You talked about if we have another recession. You also mentioned lockdowns in Europe and COVID, you know, as one of those things that is lurking, breathing down our neck. What I was thinking about is when you look at the S&P or the Dow and you look at the charts, you know, we had a September 2nd high and then we had a double top with the October the 12th lower peak, which would suggest that perhaps You know, now we're in a position where that's a double top. That's really a double top, and we're headed down. That's sort of a scenario in which the downside risk that you're talking about from a recession or from COVID-19 lockdowns are there. Is that sort of, I mean, what's your overall market tone thinking? Because I'm thinking about the 30,000 number that you're putting on a Trump victory versus this whole double top and then the downside risk associated with all of this.
Well, one of the things I've done my whole life is I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm more of a technical trader, and I built predictive analytics. So when we went parabolic and we made all-time highs on the S&P, the spiders, the NASDAQ, and then we got that sharp pullback of about 1,400 points on the NASDAQ. S&P's dropped below 3,200. And then I think we were below 3,200 for like 5 minutes. I think we got down to 3,196.75. I remember that day. I said, I think this is it. I had probably one of the most oversold conditions on my weekly charts. I went from an extreme overbought level to an extreme oversold. And then, so you're here. And now, like you just stated, we went from here and now we made a lower high.
Right.
And so as you were going up, you had a ton of overhead resistance here. And as my weekly charts worked off that oversold condition in the last 4 to 5 weeks, we now made a lower high and now we're moving back down. The reason why we made that lower high is because of the date got pushed very close to the election. And I think that that's also put a lot of fear into people. We came 10,000 points practically off the low. We were only, you know, a couple hundred points away from where we were, maybe 500-700 points away from where we were on the Dow before. So a lot of people were just taking a lot of profits too and just saying, okay, now look, I rode the downturn. Maybe they bought more down there. I caught the upturn. Enough is enough. Let's just sit back and let's just wait, you know, and that's what I said. I actually told, you know, everybody on our Ticker Talker TV channel that I look to be in cash at these levels. And it was just, you know, you can always buy in again, whether it's higher or even lower, but you just, you know, you want to know, it's like, you want to know, it's like when you wake up every morning, you know, you want to know what the weather is like so you can prepare for it, right? It's really a game. It's in the mindset of every investor to know some sort of certain course.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds to me like what you're saying is, okay, we had this double top formation and, I'm looking at that as a sign, to take some risk off the table. We're going to go through a choppy period. That choppy period is going to last to the election and beyond because we're still going to have uncertainty after that. But then once we get certainty, you're more likely to want to add to your positions, particularly if it's a Trump win, because you think that that could get you to 30,000 on the Dow.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you got to also factor in, is there a vaccine going to come in the first quarter of 2021? And I'll say here publicly, I'm not going to take a vaccine, you know, just because the vaccine's available. It's new. I don't want to be so-called guinea pig. I mean, I thank God I don't want to jinx myself, but, you know, I never had COVID, and I've been very, very careful in protection, masks, walking around. If you get it, you know, do you try to fight it? And are people going to be scared to take the vaccine because it's still, again, uncertain?
Definitely.
Was it rushed to come out? You know, is there side effects? Everybody's thinking that, okay, a vaccine is going to come out and this is all going to go away. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that are fearful of taking that vaccine, even if they got the COVID, God forbid. So these are very unprecedented times here, between the election, the COVID. Are we going to have big spikes? If a vaccine comes out, are people going to want to take it or even trial it? So this is why, like I said, this is really, in my 37 years, very unprecedented times here.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And, you know, I'm just thinking about your last, any last thoughts in terms of, you know, your overall tone, bullish, bearish, what should people be looking for at this particular juncture?
I think that the way I would look to play the market is look for extremes at this moment. I think that when I've been around, like I said, when the markets get to an extreme oversold condition, I would look to play the names like the Amazons, the Microsofts, the Facebooks, the Netflixes, Nvidias, you know, the names, the big tech names that we know that will overcome any type of pandemic again, which we've seen in round one. This would be round two if it was from COVID. If we did get any type of sell-off of any magnitude, again, those are the names that I would be looking for. But in the underlying ETFs like the triple Qs or something to that nature, because I think that that's the sector that's going to move and get the best returns for the next few years.
Well, Steve, I hope that you're right, that's the way to go. I hope you're wrong about the uncertainty, but I really appreciate talking to you about your outlook. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's been a privilege, and thank you very much. Thank you.